Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You're listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
Lots of sunshine today in southeast Michigan, a high of 77 degrees. What a perfect day to be outside. I wish I can move my whole studio and home office outside today. But I am looking at the sun outside the window, and it's just beautiful. Sunny tomorrow, a high of 82, mostly sunny on Sunday, a high of 81. It's sunny and 82 on Monday, sunny. And 82 on Tuesday, so several days in the 80s, and then it'll dip into 73 on Wednesday and stay in the 70s for the next several days, probably getting a little colder as the fall season continues. Although the forecast is showing that we're going to see unusually high temperatures over the next 3 months. So it's not going to be a typical fall season. It's going to be warmer than we normally see for the next 3 months, according to the weather forecasters. It is the Epiphany Book Club today, and joining me today are two guests. You know them well. My co-facilitator, always of our book club, is Jeff Kassab, and our fill-in co-facilitator is joining us as well. All three of us read the book, The Lamb's Supper, The Mass as Heaven on Earth by Scott Hahn. It's a great read. If you've not read it, I really encourage you to buy the book, read it. You can go to the epiphanybookclub.com. Buy it as a gift for a stocking stuffer. You can get the maybe Audible if you like that version better, or the ebook on Kindle. Whatever will get you to read Catholic, good Catholic books, I really encourage you to do so. And we love for those people who are part of our book club. There's a lot to cover in this book, so much. And I know we probably won't even get to a quarter of it. And I created an outline for our discussion today. And there's so much to talk about with this book, focusing on the Mass of the first Christians. And then we'll be talking about the Lamb's Suppers, where Dr. Hahn begins unpacking the structure of the Mass being heaven on earth. We'll talk about it from a theological standpoint, and Jeff, I'm sure, will weigh in on that as well. The revelation of heaven. You know, Dr. Scott Hahn suggests that the strangeness of Revelation begins to make sense when we see it through the lens of the liturgy. And then who's who in heaven? Do you ever think about that? Who's who in heaven? We'll talk about that if we get time. The battles of Revelation and the ultimate weapon. And what does that mean? And so there's so many questions and avenues and perspectives we can look at in this book. And I'm going to throw out some coaches' commentary, coaches' questions, if I have time as well, for all of us to reflect on, to just kind of meditate and think about in terms of this book and the Mass, experiencing heaven on earth through the Mass. We're blessed as Catholics to have our beautiful Catholic Mass. So we'll be talking about that as well with Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim, both joining me for the Epiphany Book Club today. We're also going to look at the Gospel of Luke, today's Gospel reading. And here's an excerpt, and we'll share some Catholic commentary, Catholic daily reflections, along with my coach's commentary and Epiphany insights, as I always sprinkle those in. But once, when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" This is on Friday of the 25th week in Ordinary Time, September 26th. Who do the crowds say that I am? It's interesting that Jesus was both praying in solitude and that the disciples were with him. St. Bede explains this apparent contradiction by stating that the Son alone is able to penetrate the incomprehensible secrets of the Father's will. Therefore, our Lord was always alone with the Father in the sense that only Jesus knew the Father fully and intimately. This is because he is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the Eternal Son of the Father. With the fact clearly understood, it also is important to understand that Jesus prayed to the Father within human nature. Something new took place. Though Jesus was eternally with the Father, his human nature was not eternally with the Father. Therefore, as the eternal Son of God communed with the eternal Father while living in human flesh, human nature was suddenly elevated to a height that it had never been before. Not only was the Eternal Son living in perfect union with the Father, but now the Eternal Son, fully human, brought his human nature into this oneness. Though this may seem a bit philosophical to some, it points to a very important reality that affects us all. Through our Lord's human prayer to the Father, we are all invited to join with Jesus and share in this divine oneness. The Son of God, as a human being, made it possible for us as humans to share in the elevation of our very lives to oneness with God the Father. And though the Son of God will always retain a unique union with the Father, we are, nonetheless, by participation, invited to share in their life. So why is this important? One reason is that there's no greater human fulfillment we could ever achieve than to share in the prayer of the Son to the Father. Think about that. Sharing in the prayer of the Son to the Father. Throughout our lives, we are constantly looking for fulfillment in one form or another. We want to what? What do we all want to be, right? What's the thing we all want to be? We want to be happy. We want enjoyment in life. We want a natural desire for happiness that we are constantly seeking to fulfill. What's important to understand is that the greatest happiness comes by sharing and the deep human prayer of the Son to the Father. Prayer, true prayer, is the answer to our deepest desire. True prayer. And it ties nicely into what we're talking about today in the Lamb's Supper, the Mass is heaven on earth. That prayer in the Last Supper, in the Eucharist. I was just talking to Father Chris Aylar this morning, filling in for Teresa Tomeo on EWTN, about forgiveness and offering up our Eucharist to those who hurt us the most. It was such a powerful conversation. If you get a chance, go back and listen to it. I'm sharing that with a lot of people. And it really kind of ties into an ex-post from Tim Allen, obviously known actor from our own hometown of Michigan, talking about how Erica Kirk's message at her husband's memorial service, where she forgave the man who killed him, inspired Tim Allen to forgive the man who killed his father more than 60 years ago. What a witness. And that is the power of prayer. What a witness. And then I talked about a Muslim woman who also posted on social media how she doesn't know anything about Christianity. But Erica Kirk's witness of faith at that memorial service prompted curiosity in her to know more. That is the power of prayer. That is true witness of our faith. That was something I shared in my coach's commentary, filling in for tea this morning. There is power in prayer, in uniting ourselves with Jesus Christ, with his cross. And as Father Chris talked about this morning, you know, we have to carry our cross, be true witnesses to faith, to pray, and to forgive. So let's reflect today upon whether or not you regularly engage in deep prayer. Can you point to times when you, like our Lord, were alone with God, communing with him in the depths of your human soul, being drawn to him through prayer? There are many levels of prayer, as it is attested to by many saints. Make the choice to deepen your prayer. Go before our Lord today and pour out your heart to him, asking him to draw you into the holy solitude of his prayer to the Father. Doing so will bring forth in you the deepest human satisfaction possible in life. So on that note, let us pray as we head into break. My praying Lord, as you spend time alone with the Father, you united your human nature with him, thus elevating our nature to a glorious degree. Please draw me to you, dear Lord, so that I may know you and the Father through true, deep, and sustaining prayer. May this oneness with you be the cause of my deepest fulfillment in life. Jesus, I trust in you. We are approaching 10 minutes past the hour here on Epiphany on this Friday afternoon. It is the Epiphany Book Club. And Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim and I have all read the book, The Lamb's Supper, The Masses Heaven on Earth by Dr. Scott Hahn. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Ed Bahura with Sylvan Learning Centers. This is one of our many five-star Google reviews.
I would like to take the time to thank all of the staff at Sylvan for helping my daughter achieve her goal of attending the University of Michigan Ann Arbor with a full scholarship. My daughter has been able to maintain all A's in math and increased her SAT score by 200 points as a result of attending Sylvan.
To learn more, call 1-800-EDUCATE or visit sylvanlearning.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. We know personally that when a loved one passes suddenly, we are relieved that a will was already in place. At MyCatholicWill.com, a legal will is as simple as 15 minutes filling out information about your family. Thanks to our partnership with MyCatholicWill.com, when you use the promo code AVE, A-V-E, your will is absolutely free. No hidden costs whatsoever. Visit MyCatholicWill.com.
Hi, Vanessa Denhagarmo here, inviting you to tune into Epiphany. We're made to praise God and celebrate our faith. I want to encourage listeners to connect, communicate, and collaborate with the faith community. Life is a journey, and along the way, we have those epiphany moments that bring us closer to Christ. Please partner with me and celebrate the diversity of our Catholic Church.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon, only on Ave Maria Radio. Guest House invites you to the 67th Annual Detroit Bishop's Dinner, Thursday, October 9th. The evening begins with Mass at 4 p.m. at St. John Vianney Catholic Church, followed by a gourmet dinner and program at the Palazzo Grand in Shelby Township. Enjoy an inspiring keynote address from Joseph McGivney, along with an unforgettable night of faith, fellowship, and hope. For more information and to reserve your spot, visit guesthouse.org.
Welcome back. It's the Epiphany Book Club. We have read the book, The Lamb's Supper, by Dr. Scott Hahn, which was a pick by our co-host, Jeff Kassab, picked this book. And joining me is Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim. We've all read the book. Thank you guys for joining us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Well, great pick, Jeff, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
When I first got the book, and I said, oh, this is going to be a good read, easy read. It's not that long. Boy, with a lot packed. And a very short book, I'll tell you that much, Jeff. Great pick.
Well, once you dive into the Book of Revelation, you know, a chapter of Book of Revelation, you can write books on it. So that's why there's a lot packed in here, because he took a lot of it from the Book of Revelation.
Yeah. Very powerful. Now, what really caught my attention is right in the introduction, and it was like, boom, you know, he hit me. And he said, St. Pope John Paul II called Mass Heaven on Earth, and that's also the subtitle of the book. So I want you both to comment, you know, how, when you first read that, what was your thought, and how is that to be true? How is that so? How is the Mass Heaven on Earth?
Well, you know, the reason why Dr. Scott Hahn says that is because I think mostly in part, the whole book talks about it, but he's mostly focusing on the Eucharist. You know, when Jesus is there in the real presence, and you know, we are in a way, you know, and when Jesus says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is here," it wasn't at that time. It wasn't a place. The kingdom of heaven. He was speaking about himself. Mm. You know, I'm here. I am the kingdom. So I think for me, the Mass is similar to that because of the Eucharist.
What are your thoughts, Adora?
So when I think of that, you know, heaven touching down during Mass, of course, it's, you know, during the words of consecration when Jesus is truly present in the body and blood. And at the same time, I am thinking about all those that have gone before me in my family and all the saints in heaven and how we are all united at that moment. And And yeah, it is heaven touching down, and it's just, it's very difficult to explain, Vanessa, but there's just a heavenly feeling and a sense that you have during those words of consecration, and it's quite powerful.
Yeah, it is powerful. And when you talk about Eucharist, the Eucharist and celebrating the Mass, I was telling Father Chris Alar this morning when I was filling in for Teresa, and I've said this on the air before, one of the most powerful prayers for me is offering up the Eucharist to those who have hurt me the most in an act of trying to forgive, right? And so when I think about the Eucharist, I think about what it does for me and healing my own pain. Can you guys kind of reflect on that?
Go ahead, Jadora. Sure.
Yeah, honestly, when I receive the body of Christ, Vanessa, you know, yes, I am praying certain prayers, but at the same time, you know, I find myself really thanking him for coming to me in this way because, you know, I'm a human being and I am a woman, I am a mother, and so I'm a very kinesthetic person. I need to touch, feel, see, smell. And so, you know, when I feel our Lord's presence, when I receive him in the Eucharist, I just feel a very, very close connection. And I feel like that no matter what I'm praying for, Vanessa, that the Lord hears me. He might not answer in a way that I'm expecting, but I know he's there and I know that he loves me. And it is just the most peaceful feeling I can ever have.
That's so beautiful, Adora. Yeah. Any thoughts, too, Jeff, on that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times we separate the faith. You know, we separate, you know, forgiveness is something different and love is something different and the Eucharist and the cross. But, you know, these things cannot be separated. They're all one. They all go together. You know, you can't separate forgiveness and mercy from the cross. You can't separate the cross, mercy, and forgiveness from the Eucharist. It can't be separated. It all has to be one. When you're receiving the Eucharist, You're receiving mercy, you're receiving love, you're receiving forgiveness. You're receiving everything, like Archbishop Paul and she says, everything in that tiny little white host. All the answers to our problems, past, present, and future. So when people say, you know, I feel so much love when I receive the Eucharist, but it's not just love, it's everything. It's the sacrifice, the cross, mercy. It's all in that host, and I try, sometimes people try to separate it, but it's important that we see it all as one.
So, you know, he talks about on page 25, Adora and Jeff, about celebrating the Passover. He asked us, how should we celebrate our Passover? What does that mean today?
I focus, so just before that, on page 24, before we get into that, Vanessa, because I haven't, you know, in the middle of the paragraph, he asks a question, which is very, you know, why the lamb? Well, you know, why is it a lamb? And, you know, when I didn't really think nothing of it until I started reading this, why a lamb? If you go in the Old Testament, you know, why not a lion? Why not a ram? Why not?
Yeah, I love that.
That
yeah.
are so powerful, you
yeah.
know? But if you notice that the lamb is just, And in the Old Testament, the lamb is kind of in the background. Then in the New Testament, the lamb comes out, especially in the Gospel of John. And it's just the way he puts this together. I don't know. I guess I read this book 3 or 4 times. And this paragraph, why did Jesus have to be a lamb? And he said, why not a stallion or a tiger or a bull? But
yeah.
It's all because of the book of Revelation, because the lamb is the one that's slain in Revelation 5:6. So it's very amazing how he puts it all together.
It is. Adora, yeah. Your thoughts on that section?
Yeah, the lamb is the sacrifice. And like Jeff said, it's very fitting when you hear, you know, why not lion? You know, the first thing many of us think of is roar, you know, the Lion of Judah, the power, the might of God. But Jesus, his son, had to come down as a sacrifice so that we could literally eat his body. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's really mind-blowing.
It is. It truly is. And, you know, Dr. Scott Hahn writes towards the end of the book, I want to make it clear that this idea, the idea behind this book is nothing new. And it's certainly not mine. It's as old as the church, and the church has never let go of it. though the idea has been lost in the shuffle of doctrinal controversies over the last several centuries. Nor can we dismiss such talk at the pious wishes of a handful of saints and scholars, for the idea of the Mass as heaven on earth is now the explicit teaching of the Catholic faith. I think it's so powerful. I asterisked that like 10 times because it speaks a lot. I mean, he put it at the end of the book, but really this is is what this book is all about.
Yeah. You know, as the church in the early, very early church, first, second century, you know, the church was developing. So even till today, we always learn that doctrine develops. It doesn't just pop up at you and say, okay, this is doctrine. I mean, it took 325 years for us to understand the doctrine of Jesus, you know, being fully God and fully man. It took councils. So things don't happen overnight. And it's the same thing with the Mass. Like he says, none of this is new. It just took time for theologians and early church fathers to develop all this and to understand the book of Revelation and say, wow, this is the Mass. But sometimes we see it as, oh, it's in front of us, we have books, we can go look this up right away. But man, the early church, I mean, it took, can you imagine, like, if you're reading the gospel, if you only had a part of the gospel and the full gospel, you can't get it for another 100 years. Like, where would we be? Something that I think of the early church, where were they without all the Gospels compiled in one book yet? They were just reading bits and pieces of it. So even the followers didn't have the full teaching of the church. You know, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And he talks about at Mass, we're already in heaven. That's just not me saying so, or a handful of dead theologians. The Catechism says so. And then you kind of reflect on how people attend Mass today. You know, the lack of reverence. Can we kind of speak to that? What is Dr. Scott Hahn really telling us in this book about how we should show up? If Mass is truly heaven on earth, how are we showing up to heaven every time we attend Mass?
I'm sure Dora has plenty
to say. There's a lot to say.
How could you guys guess?
Dora has more.
That's the thing, you guys. If people really knew where we were going, what we were doing, and who we were receiving, I mean, we should be weeping when we walk in those doors of joy, weeping when we walk out of joy, and just, you know, giving that to the whole world. But I really don't think that, unfortunately, today in our times and in our culture, not everywhere, not everyone, but most people, they really don't realize what's happening, that heaven is touching earth, you know, in the moment of the Mass. And to go back to the church fathers, you know, they didn't have a Bible written down. You know, the Mass came first, and everything that happened was through oral tradition.
Yeah.
And the reason why they could be sustained on bits and pieces is because they were so united as one in the power of the Holy Spirit that the wisdom that they got was not from a written piece of paper, but it was from the Holy Spirit himself. And so I feel like people forget the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Trinity, the fact that Dr. Scott Hahn talks about, you know, the God that we worship is a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And imagine if families today would walk into the church knowing what they were going to experience, who they were going to receive, and that power that could transform their lives. Our worship, our Sunday worship would be packed to the hilt like Christmas and Easter. But unfortunately, most people, you know, don't take the time to understand. And this book, it's a treasure. And it just unpacks it so beautifully.
Yeah. I think most people don't know really what they're walking into. You know, they've just got this mindset, you know what, at least I'm going to church. That's what counts. You know, I'll come if you please. You know, that's gotten so watered down. You know, go back and read the letter of St. Paul in Ephesians. And, you know, when St. Paul says women should wear a veil, he's not talking about women should wear a veil or at home or be submissive like, you know, like they do in other faiths. He's actually talking about when you go and praise and worship God at Mass, you should wear a veil. That's just how things were back then. And again, it's not, I don't think he meant disrespect. What he really was talking about was respect and reverence for the Eucharist. I mean, he even said that in First Corinthians. So, you know, we've lost that. I mean, I'm a Eucharist minister, and I'm telling you, I'm giving out the Eucharist, and I'm just saying, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Because, you know, I look at somebody, look how he's dressed. Look, I'm just supposed to give the Eucharist, but it's a plain day in front of you. You know, we've lost complete and total reverence. If Jesus was to appear in front of you today, would you come and give him a hug in shorts and flip flops and a tank top? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I don't know. It bothers me. It's one thing that really bothers me. And there's no way to address it because we've gotten so loose about it that, you know, I don't know. It's a tough situation.
And it's actually quite distracting sometimes in Mass when people are dressed inappropriately. You know, in chapter 4 of the Lamb's Supper, Dr. Scott Hahn begins unpacking, like we're talking about right now, the structure of the Mass, showing how each part mirrors heavenly worship and reveals deep biblical meaning. Now, which part of the Mass for you, the Liturgy of the Word, the Liturgy of the Eucharist, feels most alive and meaningful to you? I wanted to share that with our listeners. And how does Dr. Scott's explanation deepen that experience when you read the book? Like, now we're going to go to Mass after we read this book, and I've been reading this book the last month, so I've been going to Mass a couple times a week, and I look at it a little differently from his perspective. So, you know, when you look at the structure of what he talks about in chapter 4, how does that, Jeff, you've read this book like 3 times, are you experiencing the Mass differently?
Between his writings and I've been reading a lot of writings on St. Padre Pio, and somebody asked him one day, what happens if a piece of the Eucharist falls off and you don't see it? And Padre Pio's response was, because Padre Pio used to see his guardian angel and all kind of angels, he said, you don't have to worry about that. He said, there's thousands of angels circling the altar to catch any particle falling. So every time I go to Mass now, I picture angels just flying around. I know it sounds crazy, flying around the altar to make sure it doesn't fall. Now, and you know, even in the Old Testament, there's thousands of angels. We used to say that at Mass, thousands upon thousands of angels and myriads at Mass. Can you imagine that? So, I always picture angels at Mass, but for me, honestly, there's only 2 main parts of the Mass. The Liturgy of the Word, the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And I got in a big argument with a couple guys at the cigar shop the other day because they're not going to church because of certain priests.
Yeah.
And, you know, I laid it out. They didn't like what I said. But listen, I've been in my parish since 1983. We've had 12 different pastors. I'm still there. I'm going to hear the Word and receive the Eucharist. No other reason. If the homily's good, I got something out of it. If the homily's bad, I don't care. That's not what I'm going for.
Yeah.
So it's very important that why are you going to Mass? What, like you said, what are you experiencing? It? I get people that come out of Mass, all they do is complain. This baby's crying. This person was this. The priest said that. You know, are you paying more attention to what's going on in the church? If you get distracted by people, you just sit in the first row so you don't see anybody. I mean, you know, people complain more when they leave Mass and they say, wow, that was beautiful. I got so many graces out of Mass. I don't hear that anymore, Vanessa.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but that's what I experienced.
Well, you know, I make an intentional, me and Ronnie, it's so funny, you guys, because when we listen to the homily, even though it's, you know, right, some homilists are phenomenal and some are not. It's, you know, sometimes you're a priest. Second language is English, so it's difficult to understand. We always make a concerted effort to take away something, a word, something, just to meditate on. It's our intention to get the most out of the Mass, right? And to me, and Adora, I'll have you chime in too, but the most powerful of the Mass for me is when I receive the Eucharist because I offer that up to the person that hurt me the most. And, you know, and for years I was offering up the Eucharist to 2 particular people. And then, you know, now I offer it to anybody that comes to mind that I'm, like, upset with. Usually it's politicians today who I don't even know personally, but you know what I mean? But that's the fact. You know, I get angry of what's going on in the world, and so I offer my Eucharist. To me, that's the most powerful, and that's why I go. Because that there's no powerful prayer for me than receiving the Eucharist and offering up the Eucharist to for somebody else.
I thought you might be offering up for Ron because you're always mad and yelling at him.
Sometimes I do. He probably offers that up for me. I probably drive him more crazy. I'll admit that, Jeff. Okay, I'm going to admit it. How about you, Adora?
Oh, gosh. It's definitely when receiving Jesus, but it's also the word proclaimed. And, you know, yeah, like Jeff said, we go through many different priests in our parishes, and, you know, we're not there to be entertained. We're there to be receiving, you know, the living God. And I wish people, you know, would spend, imagine if people just spent 2 or 3 hours in the entire week preparing for Sunday Mass. How different would that Mass be for them if they read the readings 2 or 3 times before they got to Mass?
Wow, great point.
You know, if they listened to a meditation, you know, prior to getting to Mass. And you know, of course, we want to have a good homily. And, you know, there's always something to take away, no matter what. And I think if we're prepared for Mass, think about it. We spend, what, 40, 50, 60 hours a week at work. We'll spend, you know, 20 hours a week at the gym or 15 hours a week walking.
Look how much time we spend preparing for a wedding, like you ladies. Take 2 hours.
That's
good, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's true. That's true. I have to say that, Jeff. That is true. That is true. It's so fun. In fact, we have an event tonight, and I just warned my daughter, and I said, you know what? We have to leave at 5:30. We're driving an hour away. You better do your hair and makeup. I don't want to hear it. Like, it's going to take her a couple hours. That is such a great point.
I agree with Adora, man. If we prepare, you know, if we just do, you don't have to do anything else, man. Just read the reading beforehand so you're not lost when the priest reads it. That's, you know, and if you follow along, you'll get so much more out of the reading and the homily than just sitting there and waiting for the priest to give a Bible study. The homily is not a Bible study, man. It's just supposed to be a reflection, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, and you're done.
You're supposed to take a nugget. You know, just a nugget from it. But, you guys, we got to take a break here on Epiphany. We're talking about the book we've read, The Lamb's Supper, The Mass as Heaven on Earth by Dr. Scott Hahn. Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim are co-hosting my Epiphany Book Club here today with me on Epiphany. We got to take a break. We're going to continue after that. Don't go away.
Looking for a retreat venue for your youth group, sports team, ministry, or staff event? St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt sits on a picturesque 95-acre property, complete with 3 large conference rooms, 2 chapels, 2 dining rooms with commercial kitchens, meeting spaces for smaller groups, overnight lodging, and a professional staff to make your event a success. Call 517-669-8321 or visit stfrancis.ws to book your event today.
The doctor is in Ann Arbor. Don't miss this chance to join Dr. Ray's studio audience for tapings of his hit TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray.
The live audience makes the show.
The tapings are October 28th and 29th. 2 shows each night at 5:30 and 7:15 p.m. All shows are at Russell Video in Ann Arbor, and the cost is free.
Without the audience, there is no show.
Just sign up at AveMariaRadio.net.
Very much would love to see you.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit GlassDoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh, yeah!
And we're back here in Epiphany. We're reading the book, The Lamb's Supper, The Mass is Heaven on Earth by Dr. Scott Hahn. Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim are with me here today discussing this book that all three of us read. And, you know, we're talking about the power of prayer, especially the power of prayer during Mass, offering up our Eucharist, intently listening to the reading. Both of you commented about the importance of preparing for Mass even before we go to Mass. And we, in terms of power of prayer, you guys, in the aftermath of the horrific assassination of Charlie Kirk, what did Christians do? We turned to prayer. We had vigils all over, not just the United States, but the world. Many parts of the world, other countries, were praying for Charlie Kirk. Praying, they said the church attendance were through the roof the Sunday after his assassination. Can you kind of speak to that in terms of what we're seeing in the world today? And Adora, you really, really address spiritual warfare as a speaker often.
Yeah, and you know, in this book particularly, Dr. Hahn talks about worship is warfare. And there's one particular paragraph that stood out to me on page 145 in the book for those that are following along. And it goes like this: any battle we're impatient to fight with earthly weapons, we should first enter with weapons of the spirit. You want justice for oppressed people across the globe? You want relief for the martyrs overseas? Don't rush first to City Hall. If you want to bring about the kingdom, you should first worship well as often as you can, wherever the sanctuary of the king touches down in the Mass.
Wow, that is so powerful. And mm-hmm. and both of you in your speaking have addressed spiritual warfare. Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim are both speakers as well. And Jeff has his master's degree in theology. You've taught classes. We've all spoken.
Yeah.
Can you guys, let's talk about spiritual warfare, because this is when we talk about our faith relating to what we're seeing in the world today. You know, a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs have now become an anti-Christian country in so many aspects.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this book and why it's important to read such a book as it relates to what we're seeing in the world today.
You know, Vanessa, we often think, and like you said, we've all spoken on spiritual warfare, and when you talk about it, many people often think, like, this is something new. Like, I've never heard of spiritual warfare, right? And you tell them about them, you know, all these priests doing all this work and, you know, all this stuff on the battle. But, you know, if you read scripture, I mean, the battle was there. I mean, St. Paul talks about this very explicitly in a lot of his letters, especially in Ephesians, when, you know, he talks about, well, why is he telling us to put on the armor of God? There is a reason for it. Because even from that early on in the church, the battle was real. But for some reason, over the years, I think the devil has done such a good job of disguising the battle to making it look like this is just normal. It's not a battle. It's just normal. So people have fallen into that trap and into that lie that the spiritual battle is well, it's no big deal. We're all of us are tempted. And it's going to happen the rest of our lives, but I think it's way, way beyond that. And if people don't wake up and I think start praying prayers of spiritual battle or start understanding scripture or books like this, then we will lose the battle, at least in this lifetime while we're living.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah, because
with
we
that.
Know Jesus think... won it. Jesus won the battle, yeah. Won the war. We're just fighting battles on this earth. All of us are, you know, while we're living here. And we don't want to lose our souls because we've succumbed to the wrong side of the spiritual warfare. Right? I mean, is that what we're talking about here?
Absolutely. I think,
yeah.
You know, we live a life of comfort here. And I don't see that in a way. Of course, we all appreciate, you know, having temperature-controlled homes and things like that. But, you know, I was walking down the hill of Assisi when I got the text message about Charlie, pray for him. And I didn't know what was happening because we were in Italy. For the canonizations, and I looked at Dominic, and Dominic looked at me, and I said, all right, let's walk back to the hotel, and we're going to pray the rosary right now. And, you know, we had no idea what was happening across the globe, but as I sat there and prayed, and I thought about our cloud of witness, the saints, everybody that's gone before us, and I'm sitting there praying in the town where St. Francis is, where our newest saint, St. Carlo, was, and I sat there, and I thought about how much spiritual warfare did these saints go through, St. Clair, and, you know, in the times that they lived and in the culture that they had to, you know, St. Francis had to battle with his father and, you know, go against everything, you know, that his father wanted for him, and he did it anyways. And it's hard. It's hard to stand up against the culture. It's hard to be countercultural. And I think we need courage. The virtue of courage is so important right now in fighting spiritual warfare. And I think how we get that courage is through the sacraments and through adoration and through being with people. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, through the mass. Yeah.
Yeah, through the mass. Exactly what we're talking about in this book.
Everything else comes along with it, but I think it all starts at the mass. If you don't go to mass, I really don't care, with all due respect, I don't mean no disrespect, I don't care how much you go to adoration. If you don't go to mass and actually receive the Eucharist and the graces, adoration alone won't help the battle, just like the rosary alone won't help the battle. It's got to be a combination of everything.
So when people ask me, you know, they'll say, I don't get the spiritual warfare, and I said, okay, it manifests in our actions, right? So how did we respond? And Charlie Kirk's wife mentioned this, and so did a lot of people during the memorial. We did not react in vandalism. We did not react by rioting and burning our cities, right, and attacking people. No, which we saw in 2020. No. We reacted by praying, by going to church. That is a tangible understanding of the manifestation of spiritual warfare, is how we react to adversity and to being persecuted. The man was assassinated in front of everybody in real time, right?
Yeah.
And we didn't respond with hate. No, we responded with what? We responded with love.
Yeah.
We responded with the power of our prayer and our worship. And and I think we felt a tangible pull. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I literally felt a pull in my body to be at prayer at that moment by God. So that is how we respond to evil, by prayer. And like Jeff said, you have to go to Mass. Absolutely, 1,000%. And one thing sometimes on the flip side, Vanessa, is people give too much credit to the enemy. But, you know, look at what we did. The most of the world, you know, responded with prayer. They responded with love. They responded with forgiving those that they've had such a hard time forgiving for their whole life, because they saw what Erica did.
Yeah, what a witness. Yeah. What a true witness. Well, go ahead, Jeff.
You know, we responded the exact way that Jesus would have responded. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they were about to arrest him, and Peter took the sword and cut off the ear of the soldier, what did Jesus do? He said, "Don't, Peter, don't." He restored the soldier's ear, no violence. And I really think, I truly believe that we really are modern-day apostles and disciples, because we really are, the majority of us are following the works of Christ and exactly what he would have done. And listen, deep down in all of us, there is a Peter that wants to take the sword. But we know
that's not the right way.
That's our human nature, don't you think, Jeff? We react with our human nature.
And Jesus wants us to pick up not the wrong sword, but the right sword. And the armor of him.
Exactly. Jeff, you alluded to the angels. You not just alluded, you explained about the angels at Mass, right? And in the part two of this book of Dr. Scott Hahn, he talks about who's who in heaven. This is on page 72. And he says, Dr. Hahn paints a vivid pictures of angels, elders, martyrs, and saints as active participants in heavenly worship, which mirrors what happens in the liturgy. So how does seeing the Mass as a participation in the worship of heaven alongside angels, saints, and martyrs kind of shift our sense of who we're actually with at church?
Yeah, right. That's, to think about when you're at Mass that there's so many other people with me, or angels and the saints and the incense, and, you know, it's really... So before we're done, I want to mention this because it sticks out. Father John Ricardo, and I'm just going to paraphrase and say it real quick. He said, when you die and all the masses that you've heard, he says, here's what I want you to picture. He said, you die and you walk into U of M. You know how big the stadium is.
Yeah, I love it.
You, that there's angels there, there's saints, there's the cherubim, the seraphim. And he said, you walk in by yourself. You're dead. You've made it to heaven. You walk in by yourself and all, it's white, it's bright, and everybody in the stands is clapping and cheering for you that you made it, and it's all because of the Mass. And this has stood out to me for the last 7-8 years since I heard it. So many people are cheering for us, and you won't know it until you get there, which is amazing. You know, I love that. About the
so
Mass,
beautiful.
You know?
I love that. Yeah. What a great imagery. Father John is so great with that. The storytelling.
Awesome,
he's so powerful with his storytelling. And Jeff, one of the things, and Adora, you'd appreciate this. You know, every time I catch myself doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing, or like I get caught up in gossip, I always think of myself, is this going to prompt the Lord to say, welcome me home, saying, well done, my good and faithful servant? Probably not.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, so we think about the moment we die. I mean, really, when we start to think about death and afterlife, we start to think about, how am I living today? I always tell my daughter, what you do today will determine how you live tomorrow. The decisions we make today will determine how we're living tomorrow. I say that to her over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, Charlie Kirk lived 31 years. You guys, 31 years. He could be all of our children's, right? By the way, all of our sons, right? We're all three of us are old enough to be his parent. Adora, maybe not you, but
my son is 33 and Amanda's 30. I got kids his age.
Yeah, you have kids his age, right? So,
yeah,
he had did more in 31 years of life than most of us do if we reach 100.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's amazing.
A testament, right? You know, to faith. And our Mass, what we're talking about with Dr. Scott Hahn is that, like you said, Jeff and Adora, it all starts with Mass. And so what would you say to people today who are listening, who haven't been to Mass in a long time? And Erica Kirk talked about that. For the first time, many people are returning back to church. They haven't been in decades, some people.
I would say that Jesus is waiting for you to come home. You know, it's like your parents. You know, imagine you've gotten into a tiff with your parents, or they annoy you, or, you know, you have an overbearing mom, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, there's times in life where, you know, sometimes family will squabble over things or what have you, but the place where you feel love, the place where you feel safety, the place where you feel peace, the place where heaven literally touches the earth, it's in the Catholic Church. And I would say to people, just go home. Go home. And you know what? Make that first step. If you do that and do your best to really have a relationship with the Lord, I promise that God will respond in a way that is tangible and in a way that you can feel it. I mean, I literally see miracles every single day of my life. I could write 10 books, and Vanessa, I know you're always harping on me about it, but
you and Jeff,
just
you
go.
And Jeff.
Yeah. Go home.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you this question because I really, we're going to end it soon. You guys, we've got about 5 minutes left here, or actually 4 minutes. But Dr. Scott Hahn suggests the liturgy connects heaven and earth that we've been talking about, right?
Yeah.
And you've mentioned saints, and I know you have a devotion to one of my favorite saints as well, Saint Padre Pio, whose feast day we just celebrated, and I visited his tomb last year. So when you think about that, and Adora, you can answer this as well, but I'll start with Jeff. Have you ever felt a sense of connection to someone beyond this world, a saint, a loved one, a spiritual figure during Mass?
You know, I have years now, since I was in my teens, I've had a devotion to St. Padre Pio. Since I was 18 years old, I knew who he was and prayed to him. But I have a connection during Mass, and this happens a lot, honestly, with St. Faustino. And I don't know why, and it's called me to read her diary a few times. Every time I feel the call at Mass, she somehow, some way calls me out to read, and I randomly pick up the Divine Mercy book that she wrote, and I just opened up some pages, and she speaks to me sometimes in ways that I needed to hear that day. So as far as the connection and Mass, I thought it would be Padre Pio. I do think a lot about what he said with the angels and how he used to stare at the host for half an hour. He wouldn't move because he actually literally saw Jesus in the host. So he just wouldn't move for half an hour looking at the host. But I have a connection with St. Faustina at the Mass. I don't know why yet. It's been a few years. But I just feel she calls me out all the time. And I'm still trying to figure it out. So,
wow.
How about you, Adora?
Well, during Mass, I often have the tangible presence of the Blessed Mother and Saint Michael, in a very, very powerful way, like to the point where like my heart stops sometimes, not in a bad way, but like in a good way. But there was actually, and you two know how I am, there was actually an instance about 15 years ago where I saw when the priest was consecrating Jesus. This was in my mind's eye. When I looked up and opened my eyes, I saw about 18 to 20 of my family members who had passed away standing around the altar, including one of my cousins who was paralyzed from the neck down because of a car accident. He was standing there, the tallest one on the altar, and I literally saw it with my eyes.
Wow.
And it literally brings me to tears because I tell you, in that moment, heaven did touch down to earth.
Wow.
That's so beautiful. That's pretty profound. So, you guys, we got to take a break. Stay with us because we're going to wrap up and just give our last thoughts about this book, and we'll mention what our next book club is for the Epiphany Book Club. So don't go away, Jeff. Adora with me. Don't go away. We'll be right back after the break.
Is your child struggling with math or reading? Want to boost their grades and confidence? Hi, this is Ed Bahura. Welcome to Sylvan Learning Centers, where success is just a session away. With 45 years of experience, Sylvan Learning offers help in reading, math, college prep, and much more, with flexible schedules, affordable rates, and interest-free financing. Enroll today and watch your child's confidence soar. Catch up, keep up, and get ahead. Call 1-800-EDUCATE.
Marcus Peter hosts Unveiling the Covenant.
What is a covenant? It's a vow and exchange of lives which results in an unbreakable family bond. Throughout Scripture, God seeks to espouse all mankind to himself in an unbreakable covenant bond. His covenantal love is a free gift, but it necessitates a response from us. We are free to accept or reject it. Let's learn what this means as we unveil the covenants.
Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andrew Chambers with Your Choice Direct Care in Brighton. I provide primary care for all ages in full accord with church teachings. Memberships start at just $69 a month with 24/7 direct access, same or next day visits, no copays, and big savings on labs and meds. We don't work for insurance, but we work with most insurance and health share plans. Visit yourchoicedirectcare.com or call 810-224-5300 and get your first month free today.
Honey, did you ever call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor for that free roof inspection?
I knew I forgot something.
Roof leaks can cause mold buildup or even roof collapse. Protect your family today by calling local Catholic Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your roof, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
We're back here in Epiphany, wrapping up our Epiphany Book Club for September. We've read the book, The Lamb's Supper, The Mass is Heaven on Earth, by Dr. Scott Hahn. And last insights from you both, Jeff Kassab and Adora Kassab Ibrahim, on the book. Any last words you want to share with our listeners about this book?
You know, I highly recommend it. I want to say easy read, but it's a good read. And it really, if you're not sure what the Mass is about, then this is the go-to. And honestly, last thought I guess I can say, Vanessa, is if you haven't been to Mass in a while, go. Like, what do you got to lose? Like, you know, just go. Try it out one Sunday. And, I mean, you can't make a commitment and say, you know what, I haven't been to Mass in 10 years, but I'm going to go every week. You know, start slow. You know, I need to get back to Mass. I need to get back into the groove of things. And I promise you, I promise to our listeners, I have not met one person or talked to one person that has not been to Mass in a long time and gone that comes out and says, man, I feel so much better. I have not heard one person say, leaving Mass, God, that was the worst thing I ever experienced. Because you're experiencing God. You're experiencing heaven on earth. Whether you realize it or not, that's what you're experiencing. So give it a shot, man. You got nothing to lose. Receive the Eucharist. Receive the graces. Hear the Word of God. And, you know, go into Mass positive, open heart, open mind, and you won't regret it, you know.
How about you, Adora? Amen to that, Jeff.
You know, the Mass is healing, Vanessa. Our sacraments are meant to heal us. And when you receive the body of Christ, it's a spiritual transformation, but it's also a very physical transformation. Now, again, as human beings, we might not see it. You know, we might not actually see it, but there is something definitely happening there. And I can promise you that the Lord waits for each one of his children to come back home, and he weeps. He literally weeps for them.
Yeah.
And knocks at the door of their heart and just is begging to be let inside. But it's something that we have to want to do. It is not something, he's a gentleman, he's not going to force us. And so I would just say, if you're a fallen away Catholic, or maybe you're not Catholic yet, or maybe life has just gotten in the way, or maybe you're upset about something, go back, ask the Lord to heal your heart, and I promise you, he will.
Amen.
Amen.
Adora and Jeff, so our next book is by Father Robert Spitzer, Christ, Science, and Reason, What We Can Know About Jesus, Mary, and Miracles by Ignatius. So Father Robert Spitzer, Christ, Science, and Reason, What We Can Know About Jesus, Mary, and Miracles by Ignatius. So I'm looking forward to all of us reading that book as well. Thank you both for being with us here in Epiphany today.
Thanks for having us, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa.
God bless in all that you do. That's the Epiphany Book Club. We'd love for you to join us in our read for October by Father Robert Spitzer, Christ, Science, and Reason, available at the AveMariaRadio.net bookstore. Don't forget to connect, communicate, and collaborate with your Catholic community. We are your local Catholic radio station. Don't go away. Coming up next is Dr. Ray.